This is Game Set Match Kentucky, episode 12, recorded July 17th, 2019, entitled Wimbledon Withdrawal. Hey everybody, it's time for episode 12 of Game Set Match Kentucky, where we talk about all things related to the Central Kentucky Tennis Series, and definitely a whole lot more that you never asked for. This is July 17th, 2019. I'm Chris Godby, the chairman and one of the founders of the CKTS, where the lines are good and sandbagging is for golf. As always, I'm here at the CKTS home office in Russell Springs, Kentucky, which is essentially my desk and a bookshelf and a printer and a couple of lamps. Back with me today from the outskirts of Bowling Green, Kentucky, is one of our tournament directors, as well as the tennis coach at South Warren High School. By day, he is the program director of a talk radio station in Bowling Green, where he hosts a morning show on Talk 104.1 FM and 9:30 AM. Chad Young, it is great to have you back.
It's great to be back, and I'm in the Bowling Green offices of the CKTS, and I can assure you my wife does not allow me to decorate quite as much as yours does.
Well, today on this episode of Game Set Match Kentucky, we've got lots to cover today. This is going to be a big episode. So if you're listening to this on your smartphone, I hope your battery is charged, because we're going to run that battery down. There's lots to go through today on this episode of Game Set Match Kentucky. We're going to run down the results of the 2019 State Farm E-Town Open. We're going to hear about an important tennis charity that's right here in our Commonwealth. And we're going to look at the point standings for the first two CKTS tournaments this season. And of course, as always, we'll look at what is coming up in tennis around the area. Our sponsor for this episode is LakeNet Media Incorporated. They provide the web hosting for Game Set Match Kentucky. So if you are looking for a dependable web host, you can reach out at 757-LakeNet. That's 757-525-3638. If you or your business is interested in sponsoring Game Set Match Kentucky, you can send an email to info@gamesetmatchky.com. So let's start with your 30-second rundown of Wimbledon. I'm having Wimbledon withdrawal already. How did you enjoy the tournament?
I really did enjoy the tournament. 30 minutes is, I could probably just use 30 minutes to summarize the men's final. That's how long it seemed to go. But yeah, it was fun. I mean, the Coco Gauff story was really neat. I thought the American players did pretty well overall. And I enjoyed both finals. So I'm the same way as you. I like being able to come home. I work early mornings, so I like being able to come home late morning, early afternoon, and watch television, and even have it on when I'm going to work at 5 a.m. You know, they usually have matches coming on at 5:30 or 6. So it's something I look forward to, and I'm always sad when Wimbledon's fortnight is over.
I enjoyed the women's final, although it was very short. And then for the men's final, I was recording it while I was gone to church. And so I get home from church and I start watching it. And I've got set up to go play doubles in Campbellsville that afternoon. So I watched the first three sets and then I leave. And my hope was nobody's going to talk about this at the tennis courts at Miller Park. Nobody's going to mention this. Well, sure enough, when I'm warming up, I overhear some people on the next court talking about Djokovic winning it and how good of a match it was and how long it went. But anyway, the next day I watched the rest of it, which, you know, seemed to go on for quite a long time. It was a really epic match. I found myself pulling for the old guy, Roger, old at age 38, pulling for him as an underdog. And hard to call Roger Federer really an underdog, but nevertheless, so I enjoyed it. Also, I was really into Wimbledon this year. Wore my Wimbledon whites at the State Farm E-Town Open on Sunday of that tournament. So it was a lot of fun to watch. And you know, flipping through the Tennis Channel today, they've got that Hall of Fame Classic on, and they're playing on a grass court in Rhode Island, and it's just not the quite same. No. Yeah.
Yeah, I was the same way as you. I taped it and planned to go back and watch the whole match after church. But, I mean, by the time I got to church and got home, I was able to watch, you know, most of the fourth set and all the fifth set. So
So why don't we go ahead and take a look at the State Farm E-Town Open results. I'll begin with the boys 18 and under singles. In that event, it was Dylan Dethridge defeating James Chen, 6-love, 6-1.
That is a matchup of high school teammates. In the boys eight, I'm sorry, boys 15 singles, Matthew Parsons defeated Jacob Jirinek, 7-5, 6-1.
In the boys 12 and under singles, Nolan Parsons defeated Jackson Donovan 4-6, 6-3, and the super tiebreaker was 10-8. Quite a match there.
In the girls 18 singles, Connor Gallagher won 6-0, 6-0.
Defeating Emery Jones. Looks like she cruised through that draw
Of course, she
last
was
weekend.
the I think she was a girls 18 singles season champion a year ago as well.
That's correct. In the girls 15 and under singles, Anna Dew from Lexington defeated Karif Kundis by a score of 6-love, 6-1.
In the girls 12 singles, there was a round robin, and Arden Dethridge was the winner. She beat Reese Moorman 6-4, 6-3, and she beat Parker Lally 6-0, 6-1.
In the boys 18 and under doubles draws, it was Keegan Christensen and Matthew Smith defeating Calden Doty and Camden Jones 6-1, 6-2 in the final.
In the girls 18 doubles, it was Megan Martin and Ainsley Stoball defeating Hallie Lindsey and Campbell Ritchie 6-4, 6-1.
In the mixed 18 and under doubles, Keegan Christensen and Sarah Jirinek defeated Abby Henson and Matthew Smith 6-2, 7-6.
Now to the adults in the men's open singles, Alex Spalding defeated, I believe his former coach, Kyle
Yep,
Caven,
that's right.
6-2 and 6-2.
In the men's C singles, it was Jared McDonald defeating Josh Lally 2-6, 6-4, and in 10-4 in the super tiebreaker.
In men's B singles, Jeremy Booher defeated Jackson Gillick 6-4 and 6-4.
There was another round robin in women's open singles. Actually, one of the matches was canceled, or one of the participants dropped out, so that just makes it a final. It was a final. They played it on Saturday morning there. It was Connor Gallagher of Edmonton, Kentucky, defeating Alyssa Dowdell of Vine Grove 6-4, 7-5.
In the men's open doubles, it was Alex Spalding, and his partner was Riker Cassidy. And they defeated, again, his former coach, Kyle Caven, and Terry Caven, 6-3, 4-6, and 11-9 in the super tiebreaker.
In the men's C doubles, it was Josh and Patrick Lally defeating Clay Dupin and Jason Dupin, 6-2, 6-3.
In men's B doubles, unfortunately, we had a withdrawal in the championship, but that meant the winners were Michael and Spencer McCune. They won by default over Troy Young and his partner, Jared McDonald.
And let me just interject and say that, you know, at our website, cktstour.com, you can follow the links to each of these tournaments, and then you're able to open their draws on TennisLink. And if you're able to see the draw for this men's B doubles, you know, you see a withdrawal there at the final, but leading up to it, lots of close matches in that tournament, and it was nearly a full bracket.
Troy and Jared won their quarterfinal and semifinal matches at third set tiebreakers.
Okay, and speaking of tiebreakers, in the women's open doubles, there were four teams in this event, and the final was a very close one. It was Patty Coakley and Jennifer Corbin defeating Caitlin and Kayla Ditto 6-3, 6-7, and 10-0, I'm sorry, 10-8 in the super tiebreaker.
In women's B doubles, it was Alyssa Dowdell and Erin Riney winning 6-1, 6-3 in the final over Cindy and Sarah Lanham.
In mixed open doubles, this one hurts.
I can see.
I played mixed open doubles with my friend Trina Rickard, who runs our Glasgow tournaments, and it was the first time we'd played together, and we made it to the finals, but we lost. and we were defeated by Jacob Burdette and Isabel Kuo, and they were the toughest mixed doubles team I've probably ever seen in one of our tournaments, honestly.
In mixed B doubles, we'll move on so you don't have to think about it too much.
Okay, I appreciate it.
In mixed B doubles, it was Tatum Cox and Calden Doty winning in the final over Troy Young and Amber Wolf, 6-1, 6-3.
In men's 40 and over singles, Joe Reed defeated Scott Hoogland, 6-1, 6-love.
In men's 40 doubles, it was a third set tiebreaker to determine the champion, and it was W.D. McCubbin and Mike Eden winning in the final over Steve Kirtley and David Brown, 4-6, 7-6, and 10-4 in the tiebreaker.
So that's a look back at the 2019 State Farm E-Town Open results. And I would like to say great job, Karen Henson, the new director this year of that tournament. Great job to the E-Town Tennis Commission. They always run a fantastic event, and there was a 50-50 chance of thunderstorms all weekend, and they got lucky, and at the main side at least, they missed every bit of the rain. We did have a little bit of a lightning delay on Sunday night for about 30 minutes or so, but other than that, they got lucky, and they put on a great event, and looking forward to next year. Let's go now and check out the current point standings. And this has been a long time coming. Of course, it took a long time, really, for the season to actually start. So now that it has started, we'll run through the events. And, Chad, I'll let you start with men's open singles. And just give me the name in red there that's the leader.
So the name in red is Wade Stone. There is technically a tie, but you have to be a member of the CKTS for your results to count in the point standings. So Wade Stone, who won the Barron Classic tournament in the first week of the tour, is leading with 4 points.
Right. If you haven't ponied up your $15 for a CKTS membership, it's as if your points don't exist. So be sure to do that. If you're going to play two tournaments, it's worth it. And you're going to get points in the standings and shoot for a division title. In men's B singles, there is a tie at the top after two tournaments. Jeremy Boer and Matthew Nykerk are tied with 4 points apiece after they've each won one of our first two tournaments.
In men's C singles, Jerry McDonald leads with 4 points. He won the E-Town Open, and so he sits in first place right now.
Okay, after finishing as champion of the Barron Classic and a semifinalist at the E-Town Open, W.D. McCubbin is sitting on top of the men's 40 singles.
The winner of the boys' 18 singles at E-Town is the leader in boys' 18 singles in the point standings. That's Dylan Dethridge at 4 points.
In boys' 15 and under singles, Matthew Parsons has 2 titles in a row, and he's at the top.
It's a commanding lead to start the season, isn't it?
Definitely.
In boys' 12 singles, we have a tie. Jackson Donovan and Nolan Parsons are both tied at 6 points apiece.
In men's open doubles, partners Jordan Cordray and Matthew Thomas have 4.5 points each.
In men's B doubles, partners Mike Lindsay and Jun Tomioka are on top of the standings with 4.5 points.
In men's C doubles, it's Josh Lawley and Patrick Lawley with 4 points each.
In men's 40 doubles, he has had 2 different partners for each of the tour stops so far, but W.D. McCubbin is in the lead with 8 points after having won both weeks so far on the tour.
Sitting alone at the top with eight points.
Right.
Yes.
That's right.
All right. In the boys 18 and under doubles, there's a 3-way tie at the top. Jordan Cordray, Calden Doty, and Matthew Thomas all have 6 points.
In women's open singles, Connor Gallagher leads. We've only had the women's open singles make in one of the tournaments, and that was in E-Town, and Connor was the winner, and so she's on top with 4 points.
Women's B singles, we do not have any results for women's B singles. Those divisions have not, or they have failed to make in our first two tournaments. Now, when you were setting up to have the Bowling Green Open that got rained out and rescheduled, you had that draw, didn't you?
Yeah, I believe so. We didn't. We made every draw, so we had some players that were going to play that weekend.
And this is the only draw that failed to make at E-Town. So, ladies, play some singles. Let's look at girls 18 and under singles. Connor Gallagher has a comfortable lead at the moment with 7 points.
In the girls 15 singles, there's a three-way tie. Anna Du, Zoe Graziano, and Megan Martin are all tied with 4 points.
In girls 12 and under singles, Arden Dethridge is sitting on top with 4 points.
In women's open doubles, there is a tie between teammates. Cheryl Hensel and Trina Rickard are both tied with 5 points.
In women's B doubles, Chatty Lee and Marvetta Overstreet are doubles partners, and they're tied for the lead.
In girls 18 doubles, Hallie Lindsay and Campbell Ritchie, they won the Barron Classic. They were finalists at E-Town, and they're on top right now with 7 points.
In the mixed open double standings, we'll have, as always, we'll have a female leader and a male leader. And the female leader is Trina Rickard with 6 points. And the male leader right now is Steve Humphreys with 4 points.
In mixed B doubles, Amber Wolf is the female leader with 7 points. And Calden Doty is the leader for the men with 4 points.
Okay. In mixed 18 doubles, the female leader is Sarah Jerinek with 8 points. There's a tie for the male leader. Calden Doty and Keegan Christensen each have 4 points. So that's a look at the current point standings on the CKTS Tour. This will be updated sometime next week after the Miller Park Tennis Classic. So speaking of that, that is coming up this coming weekend, July 20th and 21st, the Miller Park Tennis Classic in Campbellsville, Kentucky. The deadline for that, of course, is passed. We're expecting the draws to come out sometime tomorrow. And then this coming Monday, which will be July 22nd, entries will open for the Somerset Tournament, the Alton Blakely Lake Cumberland Open. This will be the third annual. It'll be August 3rd and 4th. The deadline for that will be Tuesday, July 30th. You can visit cktstour.com for that tournament and all of our tournaments to enter them, to see results, get more information about them.
Hopefully there'll be a good turnout for Somerset. That was a tournament that has usually been at the end of the season, I guess in September, and that was one of the moves that was made in the off season was trying to get that tournament maybe an earlier date so more people could get to Somerset during the summer and play in that event.
That's correct. So it's likely that several more people will play the Lake Cumberland Open since it's a little earlier than it used to be. It will be hot because it's the beginning of August, but that's just the nature of our tour. Basically, it's always hot. And, you know, the problem may be, though, that, you know, they have a new director this year of that tournament. And if he does a really poor, scatterbrained job, maybe there won't be that many people play that tournament next year. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Are you running it?
Well, when I say scatterbrained, that was your first guess, wasn't it? Yes. I am the director of the Alton Blakely Lake Cumberland Open. So I will take all of your questions, comments, and all of your hate mail before, during, and after the Alton Blakely Lake Cumberland Open. Just send them my way. So the Lake Cumberland Tennis Association puts on that tournament. Their website is lctennis.com. They're offering an adult beginner clinic called Tennis Apprentice. It'll be on Thursdays, beginning next Thursday, July 25th. It'll run on Thursdays through August 22nd. You can visit lctennis.com to find out more about that. Mountain Tennis Circuit has a couple of tennis tournaments coming up. They have the Whitley County Open in Williamsburg on July 27th and 28th. And you're going to have to help me with this one, Chad. They're having another tournament also at the same time in Pikeville. It's called the Kenny Huffman Tennis Classic. I guess if you have a fast enough car, you can make it back and forth and get all your matches in.
Well, you'd really be leaning on your tournament director to make that work out, wouldn't you?
Yeah, maybe they'll work that out for you. I don't know. I don't know how far it is exactly between Williamsburg and Pikeville, but I don't think it's like the quick drive between Russell Springs and Somerset, I think, or between Bowling Green and Glasgow. I think it's a little further than that, so not sure. Anyway, let's look at some other things courtesy of USTA Kentucky. All of this can be found at KentuckyTennis.com. The Kentucky Bank Tennis Championships will be July 29th through August 4th at the Boone Tennis Complex on the campus of University of Kentucky in Lexington. You can go to lexingtonchallenger.com to get all the information you need about this tournament. On Tuesday, July 30th, there will be free admission all day for those 18 and under. There'll be a lunch, meet and greet with pros and coaches, and they also consider it Kids Day for younger kids. On Friday, August 2nd, there's a USTA member appreciation party from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So that's the Kentucky Bank Tennis Championships, July 29th through August 4th in Lexington.
Have you ever been up there to watch?
I went last year, and that was the first time I had been in several years, but I do plan on making at least one appearance this time. What about you?
I've never been, but they have a good track record in terms of players who play in that Challenger event, which is, you know, just below tour level. And so you can see, especially some young Americans, play that maybe are on the rise and you might see on the tour in the years after that. I know Allison Risk, who had a great 2 weeks in Wimbledon. She's played at the fifth third championships, I know.
Of course, you'll also see players who at one time or another were playing the major tournaments, and then for whatever reason, they've fallen out of the rankings, they've fallen much lower. They're playing these challenger events to try to get back into the main tournament draws. So, you know, and you go there and you watch them and you sit courtside and you watch the way they hit the ball and the pace they put on the ball, and you think, wow, how much better are the top level pros than this? I mean, they hit amazing.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the trip from Pikeville to Williamsburg is about 2 hours and 45 minutes.
I think they can figure that out. I think they can. They'll work it out. Probably you're better off just maybe entering one division in each of those tournaments, and then maybe you can work it out, especially if they're small divisions. We'll see. Well, to keep up with USTA Kentucky, visit KentuckyTennis.com. On Facebook and Twitter, they are at USTA Kentucky. And you can visit their website or follow them on social media for their tournaments, grant opportunities, events, team events, everything. So speaking of USTA, this would be the perfect time to talk about the USTA Kentucky's endowment fund called the Raise a Racket Foundation. Recently, I spoke with one of its volunteers to find out more about this worthy cause. I'm joined now by the past president of USTA Kentucky and also the immediate past president of the Raise a Racket Foundation, Mr. Terry Bunnell. Welcome to Game Set Match Kentucky.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me on today. It's a great pleasure to be here and to be a part of your program today.
Well, I'm very glad to have you. So the Raise a Racket Foundation, it's a charitable foundation that benefits tennis communities in Kentucky. It's exclusive to Kentucky. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, the Raise a Racket organized in 1996, and we are a 501c3 organization involved in a lot of activities related to tennis across the state. And as you did mention there, Chris, we only fund opportunities within the Commonwealth. And we do a variety of activities, and very fortunate to be engaged in a lot of those areas of the state. We help with top juniors when it comes to their clinics and their training. We can help with courts. We have helped fund court repairs in the past. We have helped players with special needs. Many years ago, we donated money for a wheelchair player, and we're very excited about that. And just he's done phenomenal, and we were just so thankful that we could partner with that program. We have a board of directors that are made up of members from across the state. So we're very excited about a board, have an outstanding board. We work with the High School Tennis Coaches Association as well. Have a really good relationship there, and we help them with some funding opportunities in years past, and proud to be a part of that as well. But as you mentioned there, Chris, early on, you know, it's a statewide group, and we are the charitable arm of tennis in Kentucky, and want to get the word out about the Raise a Racket. And of course, we solicit donations to help us in various causes. Another item that we help with is the Kentucky Tennis Hall of Fame that occurs each January. We're part of that program as well.
And I can see by the information on your Raise a Racket Foundation webpage, which, by the way, that's part of the USTA Kentucky website. And I'm going to put a link directly to the Raise a Racket Foundation page in the show notes of this podcast. But looking at this page, it seems that there's a lot of ways that this foundation contributes, as you said, to scholarships and court repair and things like that. And there also seems to be a lot of ways that people can get involved. And you even make it easy on this webpage. There's a direct donation link right here.
Correct. Yes. We wanted that to be there, easy to get to, and as you mentioned, easy to donate as well. The staff that we have at the office in Louisville with USTA Kentucky do a tremendous job of working with us with the calls and the administrative part of all of our activities. So they do just a fantastic job and make it easy for us. And if individuals have questions, then I would encourage to direct those to the office staff there in Louisville and begin there, and then that will funnel to the board of Raise a Racket. Chris, I mean, we want to promote the game of tennis across the Commonwealth, and that involves a lot of activities, special projects, special needs, again, funding scholarships, the working with all organizations across the state, recreational associations, schools, as I mentioned, what it takes to promote tennis. And that's what this is about, how that we have people that give to Raise a Racket in memory of various individuals, tributes. We have a lot of tributes. And we're trying to put together a campaign. I know it's talking about money and raising money, but yes, it is about that. It is the money that it takes to keep these programs going. And what's so great about this is that the money that's raised from it goes right back into the local area, and when I mean local, I'm talking about the state. And nobody's taking money off the top. It's a part of tennis, a part of what USTA is trying to do in Kentucky, and working with all of our tennis programs in the Commonwealth.
The donations to this organization are tax deductible. Mm-hmm. And again, I'll put a link in the show notes for people to read all about it and to find out how they can contribute. And they can even send questions to RAR, that stands for Raise a Racket, RAR at USTAKY.com. And so I think that people that know about this organization already will agree that it's a very worthy cause in the name of contributing back to tennis and raising awareness for tennis, the sport that we all love so much. And Terry, good luck to you all. And I hope that some people listening will find it in their heart to give back to this foundation.
Well, I appreciate that, Chris. And we have been successful in various degrees, with the contributions we've used and money that's given out. Again, we want to raise money and we want to distribute money. It's not what we hang on to in a bank account, so to speak. We want to raise the money and we want to get that money out into the state, benefiting children, benefiting adults, making tennis happen in our areas. And that, again, that area is the entire state of Kentucky.
Terry Bunnell, the immediate past president of the Raise a Racket Foundation, I appreciate you being with me today.
Hey, I've enjoyed it, Chris. Really much appreciate this. And thank you for all the efforts you do in making tennis available and fun for people across the state as well, Chris. Great job.
Thank you very much. I will see you around.
Thank you.
And so again, I'll put information about the Raise a Racket Foundation in the show notes. You can send us your tennis events to info@gamesetmatchky.com. If you're having a clinic, a camp, a social event, or a tournament, send it our way. Chad, it's time to challenge the call.
All right, I can't wait for this one.
Okay, so the situation is this. A child turns 13, but not until November. Why
After the tour is completed.
Right, so why can't he play in the 12 and under? I'll take this one. Well, the CKTS established a rule at some point, probably 10 years ago, that this is the way the age divisions will be set up, just to simplify things. And there's, you know, it's the calendar year is the cutoff. So the entire year, if that child is turning 13 this year, they're too old for the 12 and under. If they're turning 16 this year, they're too old for the 15 and under. If they're turning 19 this year, they're too old for the 18 and under. Now, will it always be that way? I can't say that for sure. This may change next year. So I think when we established that policy, we were doing something similar to what the USTA was doing at that time. Now, I may be wrong about that, but that's the way it has been for several years, and it's a living organization. Just because something is one way one year doesn't mean it will always be that way. So it could change in 1, 2, or 10 years from now, but that's the policy right now. So it's up to tournament directors to double check ages as entries come in and make sure players are playing where they are supposed to be. And it's kind of flipped for adults. And really, for adults right now, all we have is men's 40 and over singles, men's 40 and over doubles. And the policy there is, if a 39-year-old man is going to turn 40 any time this year, then they can play 40 and over.
Okay.
And so we have, that's just for men right now. We have experimented with a mixed 40 and over, I believe, in the recent past, but there were just not enough people playing it to keep it going. So these divisions change a little bit almost every year, and the age requirements may change too. So thanks for the question. To challenge the call, you can email us at challenge@gamesetmatchky.com. That's going to just about serve out this episode. I wish Federer could have just served out that game where he had two match points, you know.
Had the championship on his racket.
And, you know, I've been there. Have you been there?
Oh, I've been there many times.
And you dwell on that, but, man, you've been on the other side of it too, right? You faced match point and fought your way out of it?
Yes. That's why I always thought it was easier. You know, I heard there was a little bit of a question about whether it's better to serve first or second in a deciding set. And I've always thought it's easier to serve first. That way you hold, and if you break, you've won the match.
Yes.
Whereas in his situation, he broke. There's this sense that you've done what you finally need to do, but then you have to go out and hold your serve.
If you serve the first game of a set and you hold like you're supposed to me, there's that little bit of a psychological edge of 1-0. Even though you were just doing what you're supposed to do by holding serve, there's a psychological edge of 1-0. But yes, you're correct. If you do grab a break in there, then you continue to hold. You've got it, right?
That's correct. And even if you don't hold, you're still ahead on the scoreboard, and you know, you break back and you're right back where you were. In his situation, he broke to go ahead, but then he had to hold. He had to consolidate the break, didn't do so, and they were even at whatever it was, 8-all, I guess.
Well, you know, we talked about a little bit about the women's final and mostly about the men's final of Wimbledon. What about that men's doubles final? Did you watch any of that?
I did. I actually watched most of the first three sets, and then when they closed the roof, I had to go do something, and I came back and I watched the fifth set later.
Yeah, that was incredible.
I'd never seen a guy in a match like that get hit as many times as Mahut did.
If I remember correctly, Mahut got hit in the head, in the shoulder, and the chest, and somewhere below the belt. It was a little bit unclear from the camera angle.
In a sensitive area.
Yeah.
So, hey, that's big boy doubles. You got to prepare. You got to expect to get hit.
And after all that, I was rooting for them, but they just couldn't pull it out. It was a fantastic match, very emotional match for all of them too. So I'd like to thank everybody for listening to today's episode of Game Set Match Kentucky. If you're listening through our website, you should go ahead and subscribe with any podcast app on your mobile phone, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and many more, your choice. I'd like to thank the listeners that we've picked up from new locations recently. In the United States, we have listeners now in Alabama, in the state of South Carolina, and in the District of Columbia. Internationally now, we also have listeners in Australia. So g'day, mate, to our listeners in Australia. In whatever app you're using to subscribe and listen, we'd love it if you'd write us a short review and give us a 5-star rating. You can visit GameSetMatchKY.com for all of our episodes and show notes and more. Please follow us on Twitter at Game Set Match Kentucky and like our Facebook page at Game Set Match KY, Game Set Match Kentucky, the podcast. If you'd like to sponsor this program, you can send an email to info@GameSetMatchKY.com. There it is. I heard this so many times during the tournament. Hawkeye says, we are out. Oh. Well, until next time, I'm Chris Godby with Chad Young. Thanks for being here, Chad.
Thank you.
This has been Game Set Match Kentucky. Speaking of decorating, we're in the middle of picking out flooring for a couple of bedrooms, and that is quite an adventure. Here's how it works, and she's going to kill me after she hears this. So there's what you as the husband pick out, and then there's what she as the wife picks out, and then maybe there's a few styles that you can sort of agree on in the middle, and then you compromise. And you go with what she wants.
Exactly. And then you go with what she picks. Exactly. I knew that's where that was headed.
But to her credit, she does have great taste, and it'll look great when it's when the project is finally finished.
I've never gone wrong in trusting my wife's design abilities over mine.